Então, eu...
You may remember not all that long ago we spoke about melting marshmallows on Shabbos. I thought we were all done with the exotic desserts on Shabbos until somebody really asked me the shadow last Friday night about dipping apples in chocolate on Shabbos. Now, let me preface by saying the chocolate is hot chocolate. Now, I think there's an official term for it. It's called, you know what that's called? Fondue. Yeah, that's what they told me. I didn't want to put that on the Mar Mekomos because I didn't know whether anyone would know what it meant. I didn't know what it meant until last Friday. So I was really, originally I wrote dipping apples in hot chocolate on Shabbos. But then I realized that it sounds like dipping an apple into your hot chocolate drink. That sounded a little bit funny also. So I just said, we'll write it as dipping apples in chocolate and I'll explain to you what it means. So the bottom line of the Shabbos is as follows. I have this tub of hot chocolate and I want to dip my apple into it. So the question is there a problem of bishul on the apples or not? That's the Shiloh. Is that considered to be a problem? No, it's all right. Well, the apples are cold. The apples are cold, chocolate's hot. So the chocolate's already been hot. The chocolate's been sitting on the, however you fondue things, I have no idea, but the chocolate's already been sitting hot. And the fellow in my shul asked me last Friday night, he wants to dip his apple into the chocolate. So what's the din?
This is going to be a half a chocolate towel. That's running on Shabbos.
Yeah, same type of thing. Yeah, same type of thing. It's hot chocolate. So the question is there a problem with bishul on the apples? Let's see if we can analyze the shayla. So the sugya begins with the first set of Mamakamos, the Rambam Menucha Shabbos and Berek Tes Lach Gimel. Let's go to the Mamakamos and we'll find it together. We'll figure out all the cases as we go. So the Rambam begins, Hamavashal or Dover Shayim Avusha Kol Tzarcho. If a person cooks something on the fire on Shabbos, but he cooks it, it was already fully cooked. It was this Basha Kol Tzarcho. Or if a person cooks something that doesn't need to be cooked at all. So the common denominator between the two cases is that your cooking is not really accomplishing all that much, either because it was already cooked or because it's something that doesn't really need cooking altogether. In both of these cases, the Rambam writes potter. Now, the word potter in Shabbos is all just about always means it's not a nisa d'araisa, but still the Gemara says potter aval osur. It's still prohibited mid the Rabbanan. So the Rambam is telling us that either in a case where the food was fully cooked or a type of food that doesn't really need cooking, either one of those two scenarios, it's not an issa d'oraisa, but it still will be an issa d'rabbanan. What exactly does that term mean, davar she'ein tzarich bishul klal? So many achronim assume what the Rambam was referring to is what we usually use the term in halacha, davar she'nechal kamo shu chai, something that is edible raw, something that is eino tzarich bishul, because I can eat it without bishul. Let's say, for example, if I cook a potato, that would be a problem. I can't eat a potato raw. On the other hand, if I cook a carrot on Shabbos, maybe that would only be an issa d'rabbanan, or an apple on Shabbos. That's what we're heading to. Now, it's interesting because if you take this Rambam to its logical conclusion, you may want to conclude that maybe there's no issa bishul, at least b'nei Torah, on water, which would be quite a startling statement. Because if you think about it, water is, I can't say nechal kamo shu chai, but Nishta, I'm not sure what the proper grammar is, but Nishta Kamo Shukha, you could drink the water without cooking it up. Then why should there be an Isser of Bishul Min HaTorah in water? Maybe the answer is there's not. But that's too much of a startling statement to make. The overwhelming majority of the postmen say that's not correct. My high, what's the difference? Why is it that the Rambam is willing to tell us that cooking carrots is not a deraisa, cooking apples is not a deraisa, but cooking water would be a deraisa? So you have to look really carefully in the Rambam in the beginning of the parak of Bishul, where the Rambam seems to say that water somehow is in its own category. Water somehow is the exception to this rule. Why exactly is water the exception? So there's an Eglei Tal in his introduction to the Eglei Tal, wrote about a classic Sefer Nusach Shabbos. The Eglei Tal writes that, as we know, he quotes a very strange source. As we know, says the Eglei Tal, heated up water is different than unheated up water. Kayadua b'sifri harefuos. He makes reference to the medical book. Sterilization, heating, I don't know exactly. The Eglei Tal was written in the 1800s. I'm not sure exactly which stage of understanding of sterilization was around. But whatever it was, the Eglei Tal says, kayadua, that taking water and heating it up, that's different than taking a raw apple and cooking it up. But to cook an apple on Shabbos, maybe only an issa d'rabbanan, according to the Rambam. What do we assume is an issa d'oraisa? But a kopan, for our purposes, according to the Rambam, the worst case scenario we're dealing with is an issa d'rabbanan. Now, I didn't say that makes it mutter, but it's important to know, are we dealing with the d'oraisas and d'rabbanans? Because as different questions come up, we're going to be a little bit more nota l'hokel, we'll be a little bit more lenient according to the view of the Rambam. However, notwithstanding the Rambam's view about cooking raw apples. Tosfos takes a different approach. Tosfos, in the second of the Mamakamos, Tosfos Meshach Hashab is Dafim Chesam and Aleph. Tosfos is discussing Mamish apples. Tosfos says, in the middle of the first line, from Hitbin Tapuchim Imakadera, if a person has a big, big pot of food that's sitting on the fire from before Shabbos, and there are apples that are in that kugel, or whatever it is, apples inside this big stew. So says Tosfos, also lahachzir kar muksasos ala kedera she'imohen. One has to be careful on Friday night not to wrap up the pot, not to throw anything on top of the pot to make the pot warmer, because by making the pot warmer, you're going to cause whatever inside the pot to potentially cook up. Or you can't either put back blankets and pillows and anything that was keeping the pot warm from before him. You can't add on others. Even though if there would be no raw apples in there, it would be permissible. And then Tosfos makes reference to other sugars of Hatmana, which again beyond the scope right now. But if you take a look, skip down to the third line, in the middle of the line, kishiyeshim akadera tapuchim asur. If there are apples that are inside the pot, then under no circumstances can you wrap up the pot. The imach the kadushin is bashlu, because if you wrap up the pot, make the pot get a little bit hotter and everything cooks a little bit faster, if the apples weren't cooked yet, nim some of ashlu the Shabbos. It turns out that you're cooking on Shabbos. Now Tosfos doesn't make any mention of it only being at the Rabbanon. Tosfos sounds like we're very, very worried about this. We're very, very concerned about this. It sounds like even on a level of the Araisa. So the pashtus in the sugya is that we now have a machlekes Tosfos in the Rambam. What is the din? If you have something that's edible raw, is that subject to bishul min haTorah now? So the Rambam is assuming that that's not bishul min haTorah. According to Tosfos, that would be bishul min haTorah. Could there be other areas of halacha that could impact on this machlekes? So we know there's another area of halacha called bishul achum. In the realm of bishul achum, food that was cooked by a non-Jew, the Mishnah tells us in Masechet Avodah Zarah, in the second parak, any food that was cooked by a non-Jew is automatically off-limits, is automatically treif, even though we know all the ingredients are kosher, it's prohibited midrabanan, as a decree, gezeira atu chastos. We're afraid that you may get a little bit too friendly with the non-Jews, you'll need to socialize with them, they'll invite you over, you'll invite them over, next thing you know, it's going to lead to intermarriage. The Chazal wanted to stop the problem, nip it in the bud, and said, if the non-Jew cooks you a steak, even though you know for a fact it's kosher, you're not allowed to eat that steak. The Gemara tells us in Masechet Avodah Zarah, Masechet Beitza, that that Isser of Bishul Achum doesn't apply if the food is Nechol Kemo Shu Chai. If it's a type of a food that could have been eaten raw, it's not subject to Bishul Achum. Let's say, for example, if a non-Jew makes you a baked apple, that's okay. Non-Jew cooks you up tzimis, cooks up carrots, that would be okay. If the non-Jew cooks you potatoes, that's a problem. The non-Jew cooks you chicken, that would be a problem. But any food that's Nechol Kemo Shu Chai would be permissible. Just as an aside, I don't want to get too bogged down on this right now. This has become a big issue of Bisman Hazeh about how this plays out in terms of fish. It was always traditionally assumed that fish is the ultimate example of a food that one would never eat raw. The Gemara actually says in the Masechet Shabbos that you have to be crazy about sugar to eat fish that was raw. Apparently, Chazal never made it quite to the Far East. So Bisman Hazeh, that people do eat fish raw, it's called sushi. So maybe we have to reevaluate whether sushi is subject, whether fish is subject to Bishul Achum or not. It's quite possible that, at least the way I was told by the sushi experts, is that not every fish can be made into sushi. Sushi has to be prepared very, very carefully. So it could be that your particular salmon that's sitting in your fridge that the non-Jew may have cooked for you, so that may still be a problem of Bishul Achum. But again, we're not learning Bishul Achum right now. We just want to extract for our purposes. But when it comes to Bishul Achum, the Gemara says explicitly that it's not really called Bishul when the non-Jew is cooking you something you could have eaten otherwise. So how does that impact or not impact the Hilchos Shabbos? One could argue that according to the Rambam's view, that fundamentally bishul is defined by cooking a food that really truly needs to be cooked. Anytime the food is edible without cooking, that's not real bishul. But then we understand why bishul achum is not a concern. So just as the Hilchos Shabbos on a level of Deraisa, cooking an apple is not called cooking, so too for bishul achum on a level of Derabanan, cooking an apple is not called cooking either. According to Tosfos, who maintain that cooking an apple is called bishul on a level of deraisa, why is it permissible with bishul achum? So you probably have to say that, well, bishul achum is more lenient. There's the whole reason why the chacham prohibited bishul achum is to prevent too much friendship, too much socialization. That makes sense if the non-Jew cooks up a steak After all, I couldn't eat the steak myself. The guy at his house, he prepares me a delicious steak. Wow, thank you so much. I come back for another meal, and then I want to marry his daughter. The non-Jew makes me a baked apple. I'm not too excited. I say to him, what do I need you for? I have to go marry the non-Jew's daughter to make me baked apples. I can eat the apple roll also. So the concern of Bishalakon doesn't really exist when it comes to food that's edible raw. So we have a major machlekes in the Rishonim, both in terms of Bishal B'Shabbos and in terms of Bishal Acham. Is there a conceptual concept that's called a real fundamental concept in Halacha that Bishal only relates to food that is not edible beforehand? Is that statement true or not? So the Rambam seems to say, yes, that's true, and any pre-cooked food that could be eaten raw is just not subject to Bishal at all, Mikra Din, and Taisha disagrees. So we have to take this machlokes Tosfos in the Rambam and now, in a sense, put this as the background to our discussion. When we talk about any issue of cooking the apples on Shabbos, is there really a problem of putting the apples into the hot chocolate mix on Shabbos? Are we dealing with a deraita d'kashayla? Are we dealing with a derabbanan d'kashayla? If we're dealing with a derabbanan d'kashayla, we'll be a little bit more lenient. If we're dealing with a deraita d'kashayla question, we're going to be significantly more machmir. Yeah, we're assuming it's hot. If it's not hot, then the shayla is moved. Right. We're talking about it's hot. Assuming that it's yes, let us go. It's hot. So the question becomes, even if we're potentially going to be concerned that there's a bishul that's taking place, are the facts really true? What exactly is the status of this chocolate? So putting aside for a moment how hot the chocolate is, where is this chocolate situated? So we have to take a look at the Gemara in the third of the Mamakavos, which goes way beyond the issue of the chocolate, a general question relating to Bishal on Shabbos. Gemara tells the following story. In the third of the Mamakomus in Shabbos, Das Mem Amadeis, Amr Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avidimi. Hamachas, one time, Nichnasti Acharebi Lebeis HaMechot. I once followed Rabbi Dan Nossi into the bathhouse. Uvikashti Laniach Lo Pach Shel Shemen Ve'amdati. And I wanted to take a pitcher of oil and put the pitcher of oil into the hot water of the bathhouse. The Amali, the Rebbe said to me, Tobikli Sheni Vitain. So he said to me, don't take the pitcher of oil and put it directly into where the water was heating up for the bathtub, for the bathhouse. Rather, take some of the water out of the vessel where it was heating up in and empty it into a second vessel. We call it a lock of klisheni. And then you can put the oil into the klisheni. So what is the Gemara telling us? That if you want, you take oil. Oil wasn't cooked yet. If you want to take oil and you want to, quote, unquote, cook oil in Shabbos, you want to heat up oil in Shabbos, was that a problem of Bishul or not? The Rebbe said, well, it depends. If you're putting it into a Kli Rishon, a Kli Rishon is defined by any vessel that either is on the fire now or at one time was on the fire. Kli Sheni, by definition, means that the contents were emptied out of the Kli Rishon into a Kli Sheni. Let's give this a classic example for us. If you have a pot of hot water on the fire, when it's on the fire, that's the Kli Rishon. Even when it's off the fire, that's the Kli Rishon. But if you empty the contents into a bowl, that bowl is a Kli Sheni. The Gemara says with one fell swoop that's okay. You're allowed to take the oil and put it into the Kli Sheni on Shabbos. So the Gemara concludes, Shema Minatlas. Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avidimi said that I derived three things from that story that happened with Rabbi, three different halachas. So Shema Minah, Shemin Yesh B'Mishum Bishul. There's a problem of Bishul on oil. Maybe one could have argued that oil is not subject to Bishul, but not true. Shema Minah, the second chiddush, which is important for us, is that Kli Sheni doesn't have the ability to cook. Cooking only takes place in the Kli Rishon, not in the Kli Sheni. And Shema Minav shares Rabbi Shua, that's a detail about oil, just how hot the oil has to get. It doesn't have to get piping hot, even if it gets warm, that could potentially be Bishul.
But isn't there a Shema Minav number 4? That he's allowed to go into a bathhouse and shop?
Yes, so the Gemara has a whole discussion about that. Right, so the Gemara says that the issur of going to a bathhouse and Shabbos was actually made in the days of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi after the story happened, years later. And before Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, so it was permitted to take baths as long as that water was heated up beforehand. But the days of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, he realized that the bathhouse attendants were heating up the water on Shabbos itself, and therefore he asked that all bathing on Shabbos. So you're right, at one time in history it was takamutsu to take a bath on Shabbos, provided the water was heated up before Shabbos. So the point that's relevant for us is the second of the Shema Minos, Shema Minah Kli Sheni Einu Mevashel, that anything that's in a second vessel does not have the ability to create cooking, does not have the ability to affect cooking on an item. So that sounds like that would be a great kula for our dipping in the apples and the chocolate on Shabbos. instead of taking the apple and dipping it into the source itself, the place where the chocolate is getting heated up itself, whether that place is a pot, whether it's a fountain, whatever it is, as long as you transfer the contents of that chocolate, you pour it into another bowl or something, and then you stick your apple in, sounds like Shalom Yisrael, everything's great. Even if you hold like Tosfos, that says Bishul D'oraisa on apples, even though they're edible raw, but there's still Bishul B'Torah on them. But as long as it's a Klisheni, so we're home free, Klisheni and Mavashel. That's what it sounds like if we would only read the Gemara in Shabbos, not the Mem Beis. We're going to have to do that. We're going to read another Gemara as well, another Mishnah as well, and see where that other Mishnah puts us. So the Mishnah in the fourth of the Mar Mekamos, it's a Mishnah that Kuf Mem Heim and Beis in Masechah Shabbos. So if you left at 145 lot into Masechah Shabbos, you get to that Mishnah. So the Mishnah says as follows: Kol Shabbat Bechamin Be'erev Shabbos, Shor Noso Bechamin B'Shabbos. Anything that had already been put into hot water from before Shabbos, which is a code phrase for saying it was already cooked. If it was already cooked from before Shabbos, then you could put it back into hot water on Shabbos. This is the Mishnah's description of a famous principle called Ein Bishul Acha Bishul. So it's interesting, that phrase, Ein Bishul Acha Bishul, doesn't appear in Chazal. The Rishonim used the phrase, but they're using it to paraphrase this Mishnah. The Mishnah says the favor, says explicitly, if it was in the hot water from before Shabbos, i.e. it was cooked already, then it's perfectly permissible to, in effect, quote-unquote, recook it, because there's no such thing, Ein Bishul Acha Bishul. But the Mishnah contrasts and says, V'chosh Shelo Bar B'Cham in Me'er Shabbos, anything that was not exposed, was not placed into water from before Shabbos, namely it wasn't Nismashal yet, so you're not allowed to soak it in hot water on Shabbos. But what you're allowed to do is Madichan Oso B'Cham B'Shabbos. What you're allowed to do is you're allowed to pour hot water onto the food. So we're dealing with an uncooked food that you're allowed to pour hot water onto. Now that's a big question in the Rishonim. Where is this hot water coming from? Is it coming from a Kli Rishon? Is it coming from a Kli Sheni? It's unclear. But one thing that's absolutely clear is that even though the food was not cooked, to Lo Bo B'Cham in Me'er Shabbos, it's still okay to do something. What is that something? As long as you're not shorah, as long as you're not soaking it in a Kli Rishon, so then it's going to be okay. So, in effect, this Mishnah seems to be telling us, almost identical to what we learned in the third of the Mamre Kamos, that once you're out of a Kli Rishon, then you're home free. That's what the Mishnah sounds like it's saying. But the problem is the Mishnah now begins to give us some exceptions to that rule. Chutz min ha-maliach ha-yoshan, v'kuyos ha-ispinin. Two exceptions that Chazal single out in the Mishnah, that you're not allowed to pour or not allowed to put into a Kli Sheni, either Maliach HaYoshon, it says in the parentheses, Dagim Luchtan, a very small, salty fish, perhaps herring, Bekuyas Ispidin, some other kind of a fishy kind of a something or other, Shadachosan Zui Gmar Malachtan. Those kinds of foods you're not allowed to put into this vessel or pour onto from this vessel, even though other kinds of food would be permissible, because merely pouring hot water onto them is also accomplishes the same job. So this is the source for a term that the Rishonim created called Kali Habishal. The Mishnah is clearly drawing a distinction between normal foods, most foods, 99% of foods, and a handful of some exceptions, the Maliach HaYoshan, the Kuyas Iskunin, things that are easily cooked, things that physically can become cooked with much less degree of heat. One, it is problematic to cook those foods even in a situation that would otherwise not affect Bishul. What this means, tachlis, for us is that when the Gemara said, Shema minach klisheni in mevashel, that was not an absolute statement. That was true 99% of the time. Most foods out there, we can say with certainty, klisheni in mevashel. But every once in a while, we bump into something that klisheni came mevashel. Klisheni is a problem of Bishul, even on a level of deraisa. That's the pashas of the Gemara, that this Mishnah is a real din deraisa. That's the way the Gemara seems to interpret the Mishnah. So basically what the Gemara is telling us is that that rule that we thought was so all-encompassing, klisheni and mevashel, has a couple of exceptions here and there. Now, truthfully, there are only two exceptions mentioned in the Mishnah, but are there any other possible exceptions? So this was a big question in the Rishonim, just how far this klisheni, came mevashel, actually is going to go. So in the fifth of the Rambam Kamos, there is a famous discussion in the Shulchan Aruch, which started already in the days of the Rishonim. The Shulchan Aruch quotes in the fifth of the Rambam Kamos in Shin Yud Ches Tif Hei, Yesh b'sha'oimen. There's one opinion. This opinion is Rabbi Eliezer Mimitz. Rabbi Eliezer Mimitz wrote the Sefer called Sefer Yoreim, and he was a Talmud Mubak of Rabbeinu Tam. So Rabbi Eliezer Mimitz has the following Chiddush. Yesh b'sha'oimen. Shadavah she'nefal mitzla. If you have food that was either baked or roasted, means it wasn't cooked, If you subsequently cook it on Shabbos, if you throw it into a pot on Shabbos, yesh bo mishum bishul. That would be an issa deraita of bishul. Even though we have a rule called ein bishul acha bishul, Rabbi Eliezer Limit says ein bishul acha bishul, but yesh bishul acha rafia. That the only time we say there's no bishul acha bishul, that's if both processes were identical. If food was used to be cooked, now you want to recook it, that's okay. But if the food was never cooked, it was baked, so it was roasted, that's a whole different ballgame. And then there would be a problem even on level of deraita. That's a big question whether that's true or not. Another Rishon, the Rav Yah, is quoted by to disagree with the Rav Yah. The whole Sikkot Torah is not right. But right now we're going to accept the Rav Yah's admit that Kain, Yesh Bishul Acharasiyah, there's a problem in the Torah to cook pre-baked foods. Therefore, Rav Yah's admit says, V'asa litein pas, afilu b'klishen yishayata letizbo. For this reason, one is not permitted to take a piece of challah and to put it into your bowl of soup on Shabbos, even though the bowl of soup is a klisheni, because you didn't cook in the bowl, but you transfer the contents from the pot to the bowl, that's called a klisheni, even though because it's piping hot, that would be a shalva d'araisa. That's what it says in Rav Elazar Yemitz. The yesh matirin. There are others who disagree. The Ramah writes the klisheni. There are some who permitted in a klisheni. The yesh bakim afilu b'chli rishon. The Nagul Izad Ramah writes that our custom is to be careful about this. That if the soup is in fact hot, one should be careful not to put your chala, your masa, not to put those kinds of foods into a bowl of soup. Even though the bowl of soup is already a klisheni. What is this based on? As the Gemara says explicitly, klisheni enim avashel. The Rabbi Lesley mis-explained to us that yes, it's true, the Gemara does say that. But the Gemara has a couple of exceptions to the rule. The problem is we don't know what the rules, what the exception are. How do you know, you have to bruch HaKadosh to know which given food is Kali HaBishul and which given food is not Kali HaBishul? Rabbi Lazarus Mitz turned around and said, even though from the two Gemaras that we learned before, it sounds like Klisheni is basically okay, except if it's Kali HaBishul. So Rabbi Lazarus Mitz says, well, what that translates to mean is Klisheni is basically a problem, unless you know for a fact that you don't have Kali HaBishul. How are you going to know that? I don't know that, says Rabbi Lazarus Mitz. So he turned around and he said, guess what? Now you can't put bread in the klisheni because I just told you, yesh bishul acharasiyah, and I just told you that everything is a concern of Kali HaBishul. If you combine those two chumras, it becomes a chashayla, a serious shayla, a shayla deraisa, to put bread into your soup on Shabbos. Like, maybe we don't accept either of those chumras. Maybe we don't accept one or the other, but Lezer Mitzvah's chosh, he was concerned with both of those chumras together. So the... Oh, we're going to get that in a second. We're going to get that. We're going to lead it right into that. So up until now, we're still addressing the issue that appears in the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, not to put soup into a bowl of soup. Just parenthetically, this only applies if the bread was baked. If the croutons, you have soup croutons, like little yellow tiles, the osen tiles, were never really baked. They were actually deep fried. Since they were deep fried, folks can say that's considered to be cooked. What's the difference whether you cook in water or you deep fry in oil? So we can breathe a sigh of relief. If you want to put your little yellow piles of croutons into your soup on Shabbos, I think that's but lechatchila. But because that's mamish en bishul acha bishul. If you want to put bread croutons, if you want to put these matzah or something, that would be a real problem, at least according to this chumra of Rabbi Lazarus Mitz. So where does this put us in terms of our dipping our chocolate? So we had this grandiose idea. So we're going to be nervous, we're going to be concerned not to dip our apples into the chocolate, cold man, as long as the chocolate is a klirishon. But as soon as the chocolate is transferred to a klisheni, so we were very comfortable with that, because we only read the Gemara and Shabbos Daf Mem. But once you read the Gemara and the Mishnah and Daf Kuf Mem Hei, and we put that together with Elazar Mitz's conclusion, that everything is a concern of Kali HaBishul Bezman Hazeh, then we're very weary. Maybe we don't want to put the apples into the chocolate, even in the klisheni either. Now, this may be a throwback to what we spoke about before. Is this a real deraita or a derabbanan? According to the Rambam, there's no deraita there altogether. Because even if you take an apple and put it into a pot and make baked apple mamash mitchila on Shabbos, that would at worst be an issa derabbanan. According to the Rambam, there's no deraita there anyway. Maybe we don't have to be so conservative with Lazarus Mitzvah's Chumrah like Abba Bishol derabbanan. Problem is that Tosfos said it's a deraita. But we're not even so sure that making a cooked apple or baked apple is only a derabbanan. We're not sure what that is, and we're not quite sure whether this is going to be mutter or not. So would I run to go stick the apple into a klisheni? I'm not sure. I would be nervous to put it into a klirishon. I would even be perhaps nervous to put it into Kli She'eni as well. So maybe there's another option available, and that's what's in the sixth of the Mamakamos, the Mishnah Berurah, in Siman Shin Yud Ches, quotes in Sifkat and Memzayin, Afilu B'Kli She'eni, the Machamir, the Ramo says, not to do it even in a Kli She'eni, but if a Kli Shlishi, if it's out of people God, then Sifkat Laman Eloh HaKelein Sham, but if it's a Kli Shlishi, if it's already a third time around, then the Prevu Gadim says, Ad Kidekach, you don't have to be Machmir. Now, this is questionable. Not everyone agrees to this notion that Kli Shlishi solves the world's problems. What's even more complicated is when your classic bowl of soup on Friday night, we're not quite sure whether that's a Kli She'eni or that's a Kli Shlishi for the following reason. Most people, when they scoop out soup, they stick the ladle into the pot, and then they take the ladle and they pour that into the bowl. There's a big machlek that's supposed to be, what did that ladle just become? Is the ladle a Kli She'eni? Because it's separate, it wasn't on the fire. So the ladle is a Kli She'eni. So now, the bowl is now Kli Shlishi, and the Mishnah Berurah just says that's okay. But others are concerned, no. When you stick the ladle into the pot of soup, that's a Kli She'eni. Kli She'eni is when I pour out the soup. If I pour the soup into a bowl, and then from that bowl to another bowl, that would be a Kli Shlishi. But here, I stuck the ladle into the Kli Rishon. So many folks can say, the minute you stick the ladle into the Kli Rishon, it becomes a Kli Rishon. It's now part of the Kli Rishon. So now, when you empty out the ladle into the bowl, all you have is a regular Kli She'eni, which the Chabrin there said, the blessing that says not to put your bread into. So we're not 100% sure what the ladle status was. But Lo Yitzuya, you did. If you really, truly pulled off the Kli Shlishi, so then we would have grounds to be Mekel. But even that, we're not 100% sure about, because when the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Prima Gadim, you could be Mekel Kli Shlishi, everything's fine, everything's great Kli Shlishi, everything's Gevaldik. The Mishnah Berurah was talking about bread. Bread was already baked. Bread, according to Hefter Rishonim, is not a problem in the first place. Maybe the apples is more common than the bread. It's hard to tell. The bread, the issue of the bread was, do we say yesh bishlach afi or not? The issue of the apples was the machlekes tais in the Rambam. There are sides in both directions. So I'm not sure that the issue of the apple is identical to the case of the bread. Just because the Mishnah Berurah was lenient on the bread, I'm not so convinced he's going to be making the apple so fair. I can hear svaras. I can hear sides to both sides of this coin. So, causing just for a moment, to take the apple and put the apple directly into a hot shochel in a Kli Rishon, is a machlekes Rishon, and maybe it's Shav Deraisa. To put it into a Kli She'eni, if you're not worried about Rav Lezer Mimitz, it's chumra about everything being a Kaliyah Bishol, that should be okay. If you are worried about Rav Lezer Mimitz, then you have to further break it down, maybe a Kli Shlishi should be all right. But there may be another curveball that's thrown into this figure. Maybe putting the apples into trochel may be problematic based on a different calculation. And that relates to a Tosfos, the last of the Mamakamos. A Tosfos, it's really a fundamental, a very basic question. The entire sugya of Bishul, Kli Rishon also Kli She'eni is mutter, at least in the original case of the Gemara, that sometimes Kli Rishon is also, sometimes Kli She'eni is mutter. Yes, Tosfos, Tema. The seventh of Mamakamos, Tema. My Shnok Kli She'eni and Kli Rishon, what's the difference between the two Kalim? The Iyad Saledes, if the liquid inside is piping hot, it's too hot to put your hands in, I feel Kli She'eni Nami. So what's the difference whether it's Kli She'eni, Kli Shlishi, Kli Meya, if it's 190 degrees hot, so it should be able to physically affect Bishul. Bishul takes place in a laboratory. Bishul depends on the temperature of the water. What's the difference whether it's a Kli Rishon or Kli She'eni? The Iyad Saledes, and if you can tell me that once it comes into the Kli She'eni, so it's cooled down already, I feel Kli Rishon Nami in a Mavasha. So if it's a parallel type of water in a Kli Rishon, should I to be mutter? So the Gemara says Kli Rishon is a problem, Kli She'eni is mutter. It doesn't seem to make any sense. What's the difference? How hot is the water? Why in the world should it make a difference what number Kli it's in? It should only make a difference what the temperature of the water is. The Yesh Lomis is the type. There's a big difference. The Fisha Kli Rishon mitosha omen ala or dofnosav chamin machti chumaz man ruba. Tosha says that a Kli Rishon has something a Kli She'eni doesn't have. It has the funas mechamos, the walls of the pot are hot, because Kli Rishon, by definition, means it was sitting on the fire, even though now it's off the fire, but it was on the fire. So anytime it was sitting on the fire, not only is the water content hot, the walls of the pot are hot as well, and therefore, therefore, Chazal said, that kozman, that you're putting a raw food into a pot that's a Kli Rishon with hot walls, that's a problem. Even though right now the water is 190 degrees, you know why? It's cooling down. It's in the process of going down. Kli Rishon is hot, and the walls are hot, klisheni, maybe hot, but it's on the process, it's cooling down a little bit. I always tell people this is important in the world of Musar also. Sometimes you can have two people who are on the identical plane in terms of the Avodas Hashem. The only problem is one's going up, one's going down. One used to be very, very hot, now it's cooling down. One used to be cold, and now it's heating up. So right now, they may be at the same point, but they're going in opposite directions. So according to this Tosfos, there's a tremendous chumrah that Tanakh Rabbanan have, which makes a lot of sense based on this Tosfos. The only thing that's salvaging a klisheni, what's ultimately the master behind the klisheni, is the notion that the walls are cooling down the contents of the pot. That svara only makes sense when you're dealing with a liquid. When you're dealing with a solid, so then solids don't take the shape of the container. Liquids take the shape of the container. That's the first day of chemistry, right? From sixth grade chemistry. When you pour water into a container, so it takes the shape of the container. If you take a piece of chicken and put it into a container, it remains a piece of chicken. So this idea of the faras makaros and faras makamos only makes sense in the realm of liquids. So the Maharshal says, based on this Tosfos, that the whole shtickle Torah, klivishon, is also klishen, is mutter. That makes sense when you're dealing with a liquid. When you're dealing with a piece of solid food, that's what we call a dover gush. You take a piece, hot piece of kugel, hot piece of chicken, hot potato, and you transfer it from one to another, to another, to another, to another. It's still called the klivishon, says the Maharshal. Let's say I take a hot potato, and I take it out of the pot and put it onto a plate. And then I put it into another plate. Then five plates down, and it's still 180 degrees. And I take some raw food and put it on top of that potato, and the raw food starts to heat up. So that may be bishul deraisa. Because once you have a dover gush, once you have a clumpy, solid piece of food, the whole distinction between klivishon and klisheni doesn't make any sense. So the fellow who asked me the question about dipping the apple in the chocolate, he said to me, maybe chocolate is a dover gush. Maybe a bar of chocolate is a dover gush. But something that you're dipping the chocolate in, I found it very hard to believe that's a dover gush. They said, no, it's really thick chocolate. Thick chocolate, but it still pours. If it doesn't pour, you're right, if it's a glob, if it's a plop of a ball of chocolate, so then, and it's a hot piece of chocolate, that would be a dover gush. But unless you're pouring in, you're sticking the apple under the fountain of the chocolate, so I think that's not called a dover gush. That would be subject to the rules of klivishon, klisheni, klishlishon. So the bottom line is, in terms of dipping your apples into your chocolate and Shabbos, so into a klivishon, the machlokes states in Rambam, maybe Shabbat der Aisa. Into a klisheni, so the ikra did sound like it should have been mutter, but unless we threw a curveball at us, and the Chavner Ma quoted, we try to stay away from klisheni, because none of that. Klishlishi, the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Prima Gadim, klishlishi is okay, but we're not sure if the Prima Gadim matrit, like gamre, or only bitzirah combined with the other factors that was already baked, maybe that's less of a serious problem. So it's a little bit more clarification just how far we can be making in terms of this. Of course, if the chocolate is not yet to let us go anymore, that would be the best. So if someone serves you the chocolate on Shabbos and you give them a whole shekel Torah and talk to them for 45 minutes about whether it's mutter also, by that time the chocolate will cool down, that will be mutter on Chaladeus. So again, different issues that come up, even something as seemingly fascinating as dipping the apple in chocolate. So I guess we should start to put some of the shroom together, that exotic dessert. Between melting marshmallows and dipping chocolate, we can put together a whole chabur about how to gain some extra weight on the Shabbos. Right, so that would be Eroi. So Eroi may be a problem also. Maybe that'll be next week's show. If you ask me to Shiloh, then it'll be next week's show. Okay, stop. Thank you.